Good morning. I just made it on time, you know. I went to the washroom, and I thought there's going to be a longer preview, but such a short preview. But praise God, first the call of nature, then the call of God. Can someone say amen, right? So it's good to be in church. Turn to someone beside you. Look at them eyeball to eyeball and say, Happy New Year. Amen. Hello, brothers and sisters in the East Group. So good to see all of you. Well, welcome to the first service of the year. And before we start, Happy New Year, team. Before we start, I think it's only appropriate that we do this, all right? We want to really give thanks to God for what He has done in the year 2025, and also give God thanks in advance for the things that He will do in 2026. We want to be people who are grateful, and our God is really a good God. So shall we stand together right now, wherever we are, in the East Center, West Center, anywhere you are watching this broadcast. When I count to three, I want you to give thanks to God. You clap according to the strength, right? You deem God has blessed you, right? Some of you, big comes up, maybe just like that, right? Some of you, you want to clap, beat your belly, whatever, you do it, all right? Come, let's give praise to God. One, two, three, come on, let's praise God. Come on, people, let's praise God. Let's praise God. Let Him know, let Him know. Praise God, come on. Let Him know, let Him know. He's a good God. He's a faithful God. Oh, come on, give Him praise. Give Him praise. Come on, people, give Him praise. Come on, give Him the praise that He deserves. Give Him the honor. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We love you. 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 Lord, we love you, O God. Lord, our ears are open. Help us to listen to what the Spirit is saying to us for such a time as this. We are present fully to absorb your presence in our lives. In Jesus' name, and everyone say,
Amen.
Before you get seated, tell someone beside you, our God is a good God. Come on, tell them. Our God is a good God. Amen. This year, Hope Singapore, we celebrate our 35th anniversary. At 35, as it is for a person, we have lived long enough to have learned much, but yet we are still young enough to shape what is ahead. At 35, God has established 5 centers hosting 38 services through Hope Singapore. Some of you may wonder, where is that 5th center? Well, we have started one in the Yishun region, the North region, and now we run a regular student and children service. At 35, God has also enabled us to plant life groups and churches in 34 countries outside of Singapore. Through these 35 years, we have learned much about God, about ourselves, and about the way we do ministry. However, we must continue to learn, unlearn, and relearn to become more like Christ and to be more effective for God's work. After the conference in June last year, I began to seek God. God, what is your direction for our movement as we step into year 2026? As I seek the Lord, as the Lord has spoken to me, I unpack what I've heard, firstly to the executive pastors, then to the center pastors, and then to the different levels of leadership within our church. So today, let me share with you what I've heard from God as well. Now let's have a Bible, turn to the book of 2 Peter and chapter 1. 2 Peter and chapter 1. 2 Peter was written by Peter, the Apostle Peter, to remind the churches to stay strong and to keep their focus on God. He warned the people not to be distracted or worse, be misled by the false teachers of the days. So let's look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 12 through to 15. I'm going to read for us 4 verses. Please listen to the reading of the Word of God. May God's Word speak not only into our ears, but speak straight into our spirit. The Bible says in verse 12, Peter wrote to the churches, he said, "So I will always remind you of these things, even though you know them and are firmly established in the truth you now have. Verse 13. I think it is right to refresh your memory as long as I live in the tent of this body, because I know that I will soon put it aside, as our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me. Verse 15. And I will make every effort to see that after my departure, you will always be able to remember these things. So here Peter urged the believers to grow in character and to trust in God's promises. He also reminded them that in the light of Christ's return, let us remain faithful until the very end. So similarly, as our church turned 35, the Holy Spirit wants me to remind our church of two very important things. Number one, we got to be reminded of God's vision and mission for our church. We got to be reminded of God's vision and mission for our church. See, our church here in Singapore, it was birthed on the 17th of February, 1991. On day one, the vision was declared. This was how we said in days past. We said that our vision is to fulfill the Great Commission by building strong and biblical people to plant strong and biblical churches in Singapore and all over the world. You can see this is the bulletin on the 7th of July, 1991. Just hand-drawn. This is the bulletin on the 1st of January, 1995. Our vision statement is stated clearly there. It's to fulfill the Great Commission by building strong and biblical people to plant strong and biblical churches in Singapore and all over the world. Then along the way, some people came and they argued that we ought to add a sense of urgency into the vision statement. So we attempted to rewrite it and change it to this. We said that our vision is to fulfill the Great Commission by building strong and biblical people to plant strong and biblical churches in Singapore and all over the world. Then we add the last three words, in our lifetime. And then along the way, some English teacher came and said, this is grammatically wrong. You see, in our lifetime should be put in the front. It should be in our lifetime, our vision is to fulfill so on and so forth, so on and so forth, so on and so forth. Then along the way, some smart aleck came and said, whose lifetime? The lifetime of a 60-year-old person versus the lifetime of a 16-year-old guy is very different. And then along the way, some more spiritual person came and said, no, this is God's vision. We cannot force God's hand. God will do his vision and complete his vision in his due timing. Now, whatever the case, the vision is clear. Today, we say in a more concise fashion, our vision, come on, help me, is to fulfill the Great Commission. Now, turn to your neighbor beside you and say, our vision is to fulfill the Great Commission. Come on, tell them. Our vision is to fulfill the Great Commission. Our vision, watch what we see, vision. Our mission, what we do to make what we see become a reality. Our mission is what we do to fulfill the vision. What do we do? Three things. Love neighbors, make disciples, plant churches. Today we say it in a more sexy fashion, a more concise fashion. Whether it's our lifetime or whoever's lifetime, the vision is clear. On day number one, when the church was birthed, we declare it clearly and unapologetically that this is our vision. In the early days of our church, in the early 90s, one question that was often posed to our leaders then was this question. Singapore already has around 400 churches. Why plant another one? This is back in the 90s. Today, Singapore, we have more than 800 churches. In the early 90s, we were a very small church. We were also a very young church. The average age of our church was around 25 years old, like a bunch of gina playing around masa-masa. So when people come to church and they look at this bunch of leaders, so enthusiastic, declaring that they want to win the world, shout, loud, dance, and all these things. So it's kind of natural that they come to you and say, why? Why starting another church? There's so many established churches in Singapore. Why start another one? Even though I was not a leader then, I've heard the pastors and the different leaders address this question at different settings. And this is how they will say it. This is how they say it. They say, the reason why we start this church is because we sincerely believe that fulfilling the Great Commission is possible. It's not just a statement we put on the bulletin, on the church wall. We really believe God's word is true. And we really believe with all our hearts. Call it naivete, call it youthful exuberance, call it stupidity. We really believe that when we build people to be strong and biblical, people who not only know the word, but people who really live the word, people who really choose God above all else, not religious, but having a true relationship with God, people who really take God and His word seriously. As we do that, as we reach people one by one, we're going to form community, call it life group, care group, cell group, whatever group, a center, a congregation, a church. We really believe that this is the model that God has shown to us. And I've heard it. I was only a new believer. To be honest with you, at times when I was sitting down there, I was a newbie, and there are times I sat down there, I was so inspired. Some of them, when they shared, man, I can see the sparkle in the eye, and they shared, I can feel a drip going down my pants. I mean, I'm just so like, wow, so exciting. And then, to be honest, there are times I'm lost. I said, really? Is this really possible? Is this really possible? The whole world. And mind you, this is the days of pre-internet. This is the days when you want to buy an air ticket to US, it's going to cost thousands of dollars and so expensive, so hard to go over. But that was what we truly believe in. Now, let me be very clear. Even though we say that this is our vision and our mission, but in reality, it is not completely accurate. Because in truth, this is not our vision and our mission. In a final analysis, this is God's vision and God's mission. To begin with, the church is not God's idea. The church was birthed after Christ resurrected, went to be with the Father, and sent the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit came, the Bible says in Acts chapter 2, bang! Suddenly, the people that were there, 120, they were praying. I don't know what they are praying. Maybe they are scared to death. We say, our master, our hero, our leader, our boss is gone. Now we got this whole hand. But the Bible says, suddenly, unbeknown to anyone, the Holy Spirit came. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. And then Peter, by the power of the Holy Spirit, not trained, didn't go to Bible school, didn't go and attend any public speaking course, no Toastmaster, preached the word of God. 3,000 came to faith, and bang, before you know it, the church has started. So this is how the church was started. The church, my friend, was God's idea. Not man's idea, not Hope's idea, or worse still, not Jeff's idea. Now, not only is the church God's idea, to fulfill the Great Commission is God's purpose for the church. So to have a church to not fulfill the Great Commission is like, I want to be alive, but I don't want to breathe. I love to go swimming, but I hate getting wet. I love to skydive, but I don't want to be in the air. You know, so not only is the church God's idea, fulfilling the Great Commission is God's purpose for the church. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10. Now listen, the Bible says God's intent, listen, this is two key verses. God's intent was that now, come on, next three words loud and clear, everybody. Through the church. God's intent was that now, through the church, not the government, as good as Singapore government may be, not the financial center, not the tech company, not through the schools, not any education institution, but through the church, the manifold wisdom, the multifaceted wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. And then it said this, listen up, verse 11. According to His eternal purpose that He accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. To put it simply, the Bible says, it's saying this, God's intent is that now, through the church, the purpose that God has accomplished through Jesus should be made known to the whole world. So if you take a step back, the question we may want to ask is, what is God's eternal purpose that he has accomplished through Jesus. To put it simply, God's eternal purpose through Jesus is to reconcile people back to himself. Luke 19, verse 10, Jesus basically described his JD. He said that, "For the Son of Man," referring to himself, "came to seek and to save the lost." Luke chapter 4, verse 43. Can I invite all of us to read this one verse together, shall we? The Bible says, this is Jesus speaking, "But he said," everybody, "I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God to the other town also, because that is why I was sent." So the church is God's idea. To fulfill the Great Commission is God's purpose for the church. Over the years, especially some of you may know that I serve in Love Singapore. Over the years, I have heard churches started for different reasons. In fact, I once heard someone share with me that they started their church because they were friends back in university. Among their group of friends, one of them could really lead worship so well. And then another friend could really teach the word of God. And they said that since they were good friends, they want to stay together, they like one another, and they want to see each other more often, so they started the church. That's the reason. Some started a new church because they have something against their previous church. This is a very common reason why people start church. Maybe some people don't like Hope Church, then they start a church. They say, "Hope Church always must do something one. Every sermon must have challenge, must do something one. I don't want to do something. I want to be a Tia Song Song church." So I leave Hope Singapore, a bunch of us just start a Tia Song Song church. So that's how another church started. Some started because they have a gifted teacher among them, a gifted pastor, a person who have compassion for a certain group of people. But for Hope, as far as we are concerned, we did not start our church based on someone's gifting, someone's passion, someone's affiliation, someone's need to prove significance to himself or to other people around him. Hope Church was started to fulfill God's vision and mission. That's the reason why we start this church. Now, the question that we may beg to ask God, or me who heard from God, is this question: why? Why do we need to be reminded of God's vision and mission, especially at this juncture of our church journey? In my mind this morning is this now. Why at the 35th year of our anniversary we need to do a kakanan loose? No, not everybody. Why? Well, like, as I've said in the earlier part of this sermon, right now, through Hope Singapore, God has established 5 centers hosting 38 services. And over the Christmas weekend, by the grace of God, we are able to reach more than 7,000 people. They came to our church, one of the services. They heard the gospel. They enjoy the program. And they experienced the love of God who came through each and every one of you. Globally, we are in 34 countries, reaching close to 8,000 people. We're able to serve the young, the rich, the poor, men and women, boy and girl, educated and simple people. We are able to serve. And so collectively, we are reaching more than 15,000 people. And as we pioneer more life groups, more services, more congregation, more centers, more churches, locally and globally, friends, listen, this is important. We must keep true to our true north. We must keep to our true north. We must keep to God's vision and mission for our church. As we multiply, as we do God's work, not only in Singapore, but all over the world, we got to make sure that we keep to our true north. Because this is true. A small drift today will lead to a big deviation in the long run. Let me say that again. A small drift today. It will lead to a big deviation in the long run. Maybe some of us who are in church, especially those of us who are leaders, maybe we're afraid. We're afraid because, to be honest with you, it's easy to just tell people that God loves you, full stop. Then God loves you. God has a plan for you. You need to walk with God, love God, serve God. It's easier to say God bless you, full stop, than to say God bless you so that you can be a blessing. It's easier to say that God loves you and your family. Say, "I know coconut tree, 我跟耶稣在耶稣下面," full stop. That's easier to say than say that, yeah, 不知道在耶稣下面坐久了，椰子掉，你头会啪嚓，我跟你讲。 Kalapa apang kepala or whatever. Picha. So it's easier to say that. But some of us could be afraid. We could be afraid. So a small drift today will lead to a big deviation in the long run. And we can always justify. We heard it say in the 90s, in the 2000, 2010. Yeah, people today very different. People today, yes, people today are different. People today are different. I agree. The way to reach people, the way to disciple people has changed, but the mission remains the same. So if we say it's different and we're not finding any new ways to reach people, then it is a baby switch. We have changed game. We have shifted the goalposts. We have chickened out. So a small drift today will lead to a big deviation in the long run. On the morning of 1st September 1983, Korean Air Flight 007 departed from Alaska, USA, carrying 269 passengers and crew flying back to Seoul, South Korea. Everything seemed normal as the plane climbed steadily and autopilot held its course. But somewhere in the routine, a tiny navigational error occur. A drift of just a few degrees off the planned route. At that time, it seemed inconsequential, almost invisible to the calm routine of the cockpit. Hours passed and the drift compounded unnoticed. The plane glided further and further from its intended path, crossing vast stretches of ocean and remote islands. By the time it reached the Soviet airspace, this small deviation had grown into a dangerous detour of hundreds of kilometers, mistaken as a potential threat. The aircraft was shot down with air-to-air missile. In the end, all 269 lives were lost. A tragedy rooted in what began as a minor, inconsequential, unnoticed misalignment. Now, similarly, the smallest drift away from God's vision and mission, if left unchecked, can also lead to massive consequences. That is why the Apostle Paul, when he was sharing his testimony to King Agrippa, he said, King Agrippa, let me show you my testimony. The reason why I'm doing what I'm doing, the reason why I am going to jail, the reason why I'm being flogged, the reason why I keep making disciples, the reason why I keep planting churches is because of this. Acts 26, verse 9. He says that it's because I was not disobedient to the vision from heaven. I was not disobedient to the vision from heaven. So, firstly, be reminded of God's vision and mission. Next, be reminded of the godly fundamentals. Second thing that God wants us to remember, to be reminded of the godly fundamentals. Now, let's cycle back to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 12. Let's look at that verse. Let me unpack it for us so that we really get the heart of what God is saying to us. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 12. Peter wrote, I will always, not sometimes, always remind you of these things, even though, he said, you know them and are firmly established in the truth you now have. So if Peter deemed it necessary to always remind the people of truth that they not only know, but are also firmly established in, how much more should you and I be reminded of truth that we may only know but not fully established in it as yet? See, in the kingdom of God, we will learn new things. But even more so, we need to learn the same things but to new depth. See, many of the fundamentals of Christian living are evergreen. These are fundamentals that we need to learn, unlearn, and relearn time and again. What are some of these fundamentals? Now, remember these fundamentals. Some of these fundamentals are just not comprehensive. Some of these fundamentals, as I can think of, are things like obedience. Obedience. Now, how many of you here are below 50 years old? Come on, lift up your hands. Lift up your hands. How many of you here are above 70 years old? If you can lift up your hands, lift up your hands. Hey, thank you, thank you. 70, 17, 50, 5. If you know God, you are a child of God. Amen. There's no such thing as I am a senior in the kingdom of God. You are a child of God. If God is your father, you are a child of God. What does the father look for in a child? The father look for obedience. So obedience is an evergreen thing. You never grow out of being obedient. Ah, I'm young in the faith. 5 years in the faith, I'm obedient. 现在我长大成人了。 我懂事了, no, you are still a child of God. These are fundamental. Obedience, trust, surrender, submission, faith, sacrifice, humility, teachability. 我吃盐比你吃米还要多。我过千桥比你过红绿灯还要多。你不要叫我。我懂了。 Really? 你这样厉害啊? Humility, teachability, love, forgiveness, integrity. Integrity is only for those people who are paid job. Now I'm a businessman. Integrity is a thing of the past. Really? Followership. When I was young, I need to follow. But now I lao jiao, you know? I joined a life group. My life group leader younger than me. So, follow. Followership is a principle. It's not a conditional thing that we do depending on circumstances. Holiness. Now, let's be honest. I wonder how many of you, when we come to a service like this, or go to a live group, when you hear the pastor or the leader say something that we may already know, and then we automatically switch off. You Lila. Christmas is coming. Pastor Tim talk about outreach again. Again. Coming again. After conference, I know. Step D. Discipleship is a journey where everyone can take the next step. You're going to move from step A to step B, step B to step C to step D. Everyone must go into step D. Disciple someone. Be a mentor. Be a life group leader. Oh, you Lila, beginning of the year, there's going to be a finance series. It's all about giving. You Lila, humility, teachability. How many times have I heard this truth? In the book, Leadership Mindset 2.0, written by R. Michael Anderson, he shared these concepts, and I'd like to unpack it for us. He says that whenever you're exposed to a concept, whether it is new or something you already know, you can take one of the following three approaches. Level number one, focus on others. On this stage, you notice the lesson, but immediately you think of someone else. You come to a service like this, you hear the sermon, the first thing you think, oh, my life group member, he needs this lesson. This is for him. Of all the day he had to go for holiday, why today? I'm going to record this sermon and send to him. He needs this sermon. This is surface level learning, driven more by pride than growth. You have the chance to improve yourself, but your attention is on other people instead. That's the lowest level. Level number two, reflect on the past. Here you go a little bit deeper. You connect the lesson to your past action. Oh, yes, I love it. Pastor talk about surrender. I agree. I conquer. I say amen to the principle of surrender. Let me tell you what, I surrendered already. 1920 conference, let the world see, I surrender. The whole church also saw, all right? So, been there, done that. That's how we would respond. This is better, but it's still mainly justified what we've already done. Growth happens, but it is rather limited. But the level that God wants us to aspire to is level number three, committed to growth. This is where real development occurs. You honestly, examine your life. Where am I not applying this concept fully as yet? And don't just do a hand raising, sing a song, cry a few tears, make plans to change. make plans to change. You honestly evaluate. Simple concept, whatever it may be, how am I not applying this concept fully as yet? And then you make plans, you apply. Well, today's sermon, Pastor Dennis talks about loving people. I'm not going to just do a hand raise and just do it. Yes, I'll do a hand raise. I'll pray, I'll cry, I'll sing, I'll shout, whatever. But this is what I'm going to do. At the end of this service, what I'm going to do is that I'm really going to love people. I'm going to buy lunch for everyone in my life group. Because you know why? Talk is cheap, action is deep. Oh, today, Pastor Daniel talks about loving neighbors. I want to respond. At the end of this service, around 5 o'clock, I'm going to go to my regular NTUC place to do grocery. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to buy an extra tub of Ben and Jerry ice cream to give to my neighbor's kids. In fact, I'll tell you what I'll do. Tonight before I sleep, my darling and I, we will hold hands and pray for 10 minutes for the neighbors on my floor. I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that. You see, true disciples do not only get excited about learning new things, they also revisit familiar lessons and respond to God. This, my friend, takes courage. It takes humility. It takes courage and humility. You know why? Because it means we admit that we're not there yet. We're not there yet. I've been a Christian for 25 years. And yet, when I go to a Blaze service, a young student leader talk about love, I evaluate, I'm not that loving. In truth, I may be a pastor, I may do this and that, but in truth, I'm not so loving. In fact, I'm just very loving on stage. Maybe I'm not as loving on stage as I am at home towards my wife. Not maybe, it's true. I'm not. I need to change. It's admitting that even though I came to church from day one until now, I've been faithful in my tithing, but it's not about tithing faithfully. It's also about giving sacrificially. Am I giving sacrificially? Have I been giving until it hurts? That's the question that I need to ruminate in my own heart. You see, in my life, God has been speaking. I, Jeff Chong, God has been speaking to me that I need to surrender myself fully to God. Never ever think that I've already given my all, because true surrender isn't something I do once and for all. True surrender is something that I need to do daily. Time and again. And each time, I need to go deeper. See, it's kind of interesting, you know, friends. The Christendom today, right? People always ask for deeper teaching, which is not wrong. But how about deeper responding as well? If we ask for deeper teaching without a correlating desire for deeper responding, then we're just asking to fill up our gray matter without the desire to obey. Then it becomes a mental pursuit of the Bible. Just leading, learning, and all those things. Sometimes I hear people say, you know, come to church, you know, especially those of you who are my age, the younger pastor preach because they are younger than you, and obviously their life experience is not as deep as you. And then we start to say things like, oh, you know, they're so young. They say the same thing. They always use example about their kids, about toys, about whatever. I'm not playing. The kind of toys I play is not the Mattel toys. The kind I play right now is Maserati or I don't know, Hibiki or whatever. I don't know what Hibiki, never mind. It's a Greek word for whiskey, all right? Anyway, so my question is that, are you responding? Are you responding? Are you responding? If not, then we are always seeking for the next thing. And then if you are 70 years old, I tell you, there are only a few churches you can attend. Because your pastor must be 80 years old, you know. And then when you're 80, I think only Moses can shepherd you. And then he shepherd you, however, he may start the sermon, he may not end the sermon, I tell you. Because preaching halfway during a sermon, he may really see Jesus. Can someone say amen? Who kid is that? Tim, you have this kind of sound machine. Okay. Thank you for my stand-up comedy. Thank you. Enough. In Jesus' name, come out. during the staff retreat in November, I shared with the staff about the concept of compound interest. And I quoted from Albert Einstein. I said, Albert Einstein said this. He said, compound interest is the eighth wonder of the world. He who understands it, earns it. He who doesn't, pays it. After sharing this concept, I begin to pose a question to the staff, which I will also pose to us this morning. Are you earning compound interest by living the Jesus way of life? Or are you paying compound interest by neglecting the Jesus way of life? If we choose to live the Jesus way of life, the way of humility, integrity, the way of holiness, surrender, we will earn compound interest. Our life will flourish. Today we start to walk with God, some of you young people. In days future, when you get married and when you have problem in your marriage, not if, when you have problem in your marriage, because you have paid compound interest, you are able to solve problem God's way. God's church, God's way, God's marriage, God's way. If you walk with God today, in this future, as every one of us know, it's kind of a passé. The only constant is change. Especially right now with AI, things are changing at a phenomenal rate. If you pay compound interest today, in this future, when things become even more topsy-turvy, you have this assurance in your heart because you know and you have acquired confidence in your heart that things around you may change, but God is in control. Can someone say amen? You can earn compound interest. But if you choose otherwise, you will pay compound interest. Today, you don't choose to walk with God. Anyhow, ching-cai, never mind. Church, no need to be faithful. Things of God, never mind. In this future, you will pay compound interest. You will find that when you get into a marriage, when you have children, when you're in trouble, you don't have the fortitude and the stature to go through the tough times because you don't have this Jesus way of life within you. And when you go to work, you're happy one day because you just got promoted and then a new technology came up and then you are nervous, you're going to lose your job. So your life is up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down. You pay compound interest because you refuse to walk with God today. So those of us who are younger, let me speak to you. You become what you invest in. So I want to ask you, young people, those of you who are below 35, I want to ask you to walk in God's way. Earn compound interest. Now, how about those of you who are older, like me? I want to let you know that because we have less time left, all the more we need to invest well. All of us need to invest well, not only for ourselves, but for our children and our children's children, both biologically and spiritually. We want to build God's kingdom, God's church for the generations. Not only our generation. Building God's church in one generation, that's the easy part. It depends a lot on a person's gifting, but to build a church basing on God's vision and mission and the fundamentals, we need to build this thing deep within each and everyone. It may not be spectacular, it may not be very sexy, but it will last from generation to generation. And that is the way God wants us to build His church. On the Swedish island of Visingo, there stands a magnificent forest, hundreds of thousands of towering, perfectly straight oak trees. Nearly 900 acres of oaks stretch across the island. Yet for generations, no one knew why they were there. Because oak trees weren't even native to the island of Visingo. So for over a century, The forest's origin remained a mystery until a letter arrived in 1980 that changed everything. The Swedish Navy received a message from the forestry department, and the message goes this way. The ship lumber you requested is now ready. The Navy was baffled. What ship lumber? We didn't order any. After some investigation, the truth came to light. Back in 1829, exactly 151 years before the arrival of the letter in 1980, back in 1829, the Swedish Parliament had anticipated a future problem, a potential shortage of oak for shipbuilding. Knowing that oak takes 150 years to mature, they make a bold decision. Plant 300,000 oak trees on Visingo and protect them for the Navy of the future. A century and a half later, the trees had finally grown tall and strong. Just as planned. That, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, is what we call building for the future. And that is why we need to build our church according to God's vision, God's mission. Because at the end of the day, this is not our church. This is God's church. That is why we need to be reminded of the fundamentals. Make sure it gets deep within us. You know, it's kind of interesting because oftentimes when I talk to the leaders about the 90s, see, the church was starting on the 17th of February, 1991. I came to church on the 2nd of February, 1992, 1 week short of the first anniversary. So when I came to church, I thought the church was quite different then as compared to now. And sometimes when I share this story to the people, they say, I wish we were there because we did a lot of crazy things. We had no money, we have no building, we have not much talent, but what we had was just a vision. And people say, I wish we were there, I wish we were there, I wish we were there. But in truth, it's only wishful thinking because you were not there and I cannot bring you back there. But you know what is true? Even though you were not there, you are here. You are here. Today is the beginning of the rest of your life. You are not there on day zero, but you are here at year 35. And what we are building is not for 35 years, it's for eternity. But how we have progressed from here to here, and then from here to where God wants us to be, it depends on us. Do we take God's vision, mission seriously? Or has it just become a church where people just come, attend, sing a few songs, but it has no pasta at all in our everyday life? Are we going to learn the fundamentals and get it strong within us as we also learn new things and not just have an unquenchable desire to just learn new things without any desire to respond to the things in a deeper fashion. The things that we already know in a deeper fashion. The choice is ours. Now, some of you have been to our church for quite some time, and the question that you are thinking right now is, Pastor, what is the focus theme for this year? Right? Because last year was when he speaks. The previous year, the year before that was abide. This year is be reminded. No. Because you forgot, Pastor, be reminded. Third point, be reminded to tell us. God has heard your prayer. So sit back, watch this video.
Every journey starts with a beginning. A first chapter. A melody in your head. A call to the wilderness. 1 mile after the other. One word at a time. One note leading to another. There is a song to sing. A story to tell. and a destination to reach. Every lyric of Faith came with its dissonant chords. Every story of grace, different crises and plot twists. Every summit ascended, countless detours along the way. Yet all of these are part of the tapestry that is still unfolding. A beautiful song in the making. A journey still moving forward. To follow the plot our author began, the melody that our composer is writing, and the path where our light is guiding. He calls us back to what first set our hearts on fire, to abide in our King, and to obey when he speaks. So write the story he is inspiring. Sing the song he is composing with you. Walk the way he is guiding you. For it is not your own story, not your own melody, not your own way, but his.
The Jesus way, God's way, the way we build our church, the way we build our lives, God's church, God's way, our life, God's way. It has been, it is, and it will always be the Jesus way. Let's stand to our feet right now, shall we? Can I invite you to just leave your hands wherever you are? Would you just leave your hands wherever you are? Would you pray in the Spirit with me, please? Hallelujah. Let's invite the Holy Spirit to come. Fill this place. Hallelujah. Come on, lift up our hands right now. Pray in the Spirit right now. Hallelujah. Shigede beheda bahade beheda bahade beheda bahade beheda bahade baham baba ba. Lord, we honor you, O God. Shigede beheda bahade beheda bahade beheda baham baba da bahade beheda baham ba. Fill us, fill us, fill us, O God. Lord, we choose your way every single day, O God. Lord, we are weak, but you are strong, O God. Even when we are faithless, you remain faithful. Lord, we look to you, we look to you, Lord. Let's worship God.
Curse me, then I will bless you. If you hurt me, I will forgive. And if you hate me, then I will love you. And I choose the Jesus way. And if you're defend you, and if your burden I'll shed away, and if your hopeless, then let me show you there's hope in the Jesus way. I choose the Jesus way.
Let's do this. Sit down, come. Everyone, sit down. Those of you watching on the screen, sit down. I mean, those of you in service, if you are watching this broadcast and you are driving, I assume you are sitting down. Let's do this. Let's make a commitment to God from the depths of our heart. How about that? Because, you know, honestly, the easy thing to do a hand raise, sing a song, whatever, then we just break for lunch and all those things. Let's do it this way. I want to challenge all of us to walk the ways of surrender. Choose to surrender to God. Doesn't matter what you did in the past, how much you surrendered in the past, the question is today. Today. I want to challenge you to surrender God. It's not easy. If you think surrendering to God is easy, probably you're not thinking very deeply yet. You are probably surrendering to God the things you have already surrendered. Maybe there are things the Holy Spirit will bring to light right now or maybe in days to come. But I want to ask you to walk the ways of surrender. Let's choose the Jesus way. Let's not just clock our membership in hope without walking with God. Because at the end of the day, clocking a membership in hope will not amount to a hill of beans in the final analysis if we do not walk with God. So can I invite all of us just close our eyes, bow our heads. I'm going to give us a minute or two. Would you just surrender to God? Talk to the Lord. As sincerely as you know how, the Jesus way. Lord, we want to choose, we choose to walk in your ways. Teach us the ways of surrender, humility, teachability, faith, trust, submission, obedience, followership, integrity, holiness. Help me, O God, to walk in these ways. Always. And I pray the same for all my brothers and sisters in our church who are watching this service now, who are attending this service now, and those who will be watching it in days to come. Lord, Spirit of God, come. Capture our hearts. Capture our spirit, oh God, as we surrender ourselves to you, Lord. Lord, help us to pray as sincere a fashion as we know how, but let it come from the depth of our hearts that we really want to live the Jesus way.
I follow Jesus, He won my sin now, gladly where is day.
Come, let's stand.
He is the treasure. He is
Let's leave our hands. Come.
I follow Jesus. I follow Jesus. He will not sin. Let me pray His name. He is the treasure. He is the answer.
Come on, one more time, church. Loud and clear. Mean what we sing, sing what we mean. Come on.
I follow Jesus.
Sing it, people.
I follow Jesus.
Mean it.
He won't let me sing. Let me pray His name. He is the treasure. He is the answer. Oh, I choose the Jesus way.
Oh, I choose. Oh, I choose the Jesus way.
Oh, I choose the Jesus way.
Amen. Now let's do this. One last thing before, two things before we go. Let's pray for our church vision and mission. Can we do that? Can we do that? Let's stretch out our hands. Come on, everybody. Let's stretch out our hands. When I count to three, can I invite you to pray out loud, pray out strong, pray for the vision, the mission that God has given to our church. Can we pray together? All right, fulfill the Great Commission, love neighbors, make disciples, plant churches. Let's pray together. One, two, three, come, let's pray. Hallelujah. Shigala bahade beheda baham baba la bahade behe. Shikala bahade beheda baha baba baba bakala bahamba. We'll keep faithful to the true north that God has given to us. Sakira bahade beheda baham baba baba kala bahade beheda baha baba baba. Oh, shigele beheda bahade beheda bahade beheda baha baba baba bahade beheda. Oh Lord, thank you, Lord, for this vision that you have entrusted to us, oh God. Thank you for showing us so very clearly this is your church. We are your people. We are your church. We are here to fulfill your great commission, oh God. That is the purpose of your church, oh Lord. Help us to love neighbors, to make disciples, to plant churches in Singapore and all over the world, oh God. In every center, in every housing estate, every office, every home, every school, every university, oh God. Help us, oh Lord, that's the cry of our hearts. More importantly, that's the cry of your heart. Help us to be involved, young and old, rich and poor, men and women, boy and girl. All of us can be involved, oh God. Help us to live life according to your ways, the Jesus way. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Every eyes closed, every head bowed, please. No one moving, no one looking, no one talking. The last group of people I want to speak to are those among us who may not know Jesus as yet. You may have been to church, you may have a Christian name, you may come from a country that professes Jesus to be Lord over the nation, but in truth, you have never ever said yes to Jesus, and you are here today. I want to let you know that Jesus loves you. And the most important decision you can ever make in your life is to know Jesus personally.
Yes.
So if you are here today, you say, Pastor, I want to know this Jesus. In a moment's time, I'm going to lead you to pray this prayer. This prayer is specially designed for those of us who are saying yes to Jesus for the very first time. I want you to invite you to pray with as much sincerity as you know how. And those of us who are already Christian, can I invite to pray together with us as well? Would you pray with me? Say, Dear Jesus.
Dear Jesus.
I confess that I'm a sinner.
I confess that I'm a sinner.
And I want to thank you.
And I want to thank you.
For dying on the cross.
For dying on the cross.
For my sins.
For my sins.
Right now.
Right now.
I invite you.
I invite you.
To come into my life.
To come into my life.
Be my Lord.
Be my Lord.
Be my Savior.
Be my Savior.
Help me to become.
Help me to become.
The kind of person.
The kind of person.
I was created to be.
I was created to be.
I pray all this.
I pray all this.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name. And everybody say, Amen. Amen. Let's give God praise.